Welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I am Mark.
And I'm Vlad.
And we're back again for another week. Last week, we had a comment asking Carlitos asked if we're doing anything special for the MVP Summit.
Are we?
It's funny because Greg Duncan replied in there and said we're not doing anything special. He is co-hosting that week, though, so yeah. I'd say it is special. So don't down yourself, Greg. He will be on the show, and Seth, who you see across Channel 9, will also be doing a bunch of special videos for the MVP Summit. Again, that's in 2 weeks, I think, the first week of November.
Yeah.
We host all of our great MVPs here on campus, so looking forward to that
stuff. My team is actually doing a lot of special things for this summit, and I believe it's the first time we're doing anything with for MVP Summit, but it's going to be interesting.
Excellent. So looking forward to that content. Speaking of going back and then this and back again, everyone has been jumping into this Back to the Future Day. So if you aren't familiar with the movies, the second movie, I believe, he goes to the future, and the day is October 21st, 2015. And so all the things that were the future back then are today now.
So we all live either in the future or like in the past.
Well, I guess yesterday was the future, so today is beyond. I guess, whatever.
Which is awesome. And Microsoft built a sort of Easter egg for the Microsoft.com website, featuring basically different technologies like they were before and today. And like the biggest thing, obviously, is HoloLens, and it's like front bench, and it's big, and we also show like personal computer and what else, like Xbox,
controller, and Xbox, and one of those like side-by-side sliders you can go between the two generations. So we have the instructions down here, but if you go to Microsoft.com, it still works today. I don't know how long it'll be there. If you turn on caps lock and type in out of time, OUTATIME. You'll get a video and a flux capacitor pops up, and then you'll see this whole page. So you can see a screenshot in the comments, but you can also go to the page and experience it yourself. Slide around, see kind of the old school, new school stuff.
Yeah, that was basically from a web point of view. If you want to build something real, I mean, something you can play with your hands, there is a great post made by Caleb Craff. And it's about building a real levitating DeLorean, like a small one.
It's amazing. It's amazing how much love the DeLorean gets from this one movie. It would have been like non-existent if it wasn't for this.
We have one on campus.
Yes. So this is you can actually buy these levitating platforms, and they're electromagnets. And then he shows a DeLorean toy with the wheels. He has magnets attached to him, so it really does levitate on there. I think he also shows a hoverboard as well. We had a coworker who dressed as Marty McFly yesterday and brought in a hoverboard. Did not really hover. The future is just not as cool as we thought it'd be.
Yeah, because it's present. Talking about the real future, it's not that far. It's November 18th and 19th. We're going to have a new virtual event, which is kind of already happened last year. That's a new version of this event, and its name is Connect. Basically, it's a Visual Studio event. We're going to be online talking about new features and Visual Studio in the platform and how we can develop and leverage all these technologies. For example, with .NET on different platforms these days.
.NET for Linux and OS X and all that fun stuff.
Fun stuff. Or OS X, how they call it.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
So there's only one 10 operating system I run.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah. Me too. So that's a really cool event if you're in with all these technologies. Again, November 18th and 19th.
VisualStudio.com/Connect2015, streaming online, and then I'm assuming the videos will be on demand to watch as well.
For sure. Talking about the platform, we recently published or like issued, I don't know how to, how to tell about it, MSDN Magazine.
The e-zine, if you will, the online one.
Online, and this issue is all about Windows 10.
Yes.
With a bunch of articles, right?
Yeah.
This is how they call it. I was about to say posts.
Post pages, blogs, whatever.
Yeah, about different Windows 10 capabilities for developers, obviously.
Some really important things like understanding the application lifecycle. Mm-hmm. If you've been programming on our platform, especially like Windows Phone before, you'll know that there's no like hard exit. There's lots of mm-hmm. maintaining suspension and not making sure you're not hanging in between that, being able to hydrate for your user really quickly. Graphics integration between how to design UI mm-hmm. for an app that's going to run across any kind of device, from tiny to Surface Hub size. So lots of really good articles on here spanning anything from a designer to developer to...
the game developer.
Else. Yeah, a special breed.
Yeah. Yeah, getting back to software stuff, from paper stuff, if we can say paper in this case.
Virtual paper.
Yeah, virtual paper. .NET Core and ASP.NET teams launching beta bug bounty program.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, basically they're gonna pay you for bugs. Not for making bugs, but for finding bugs.
And normally this is something that we do across the company. Many companies do a bug bounty where instead of encouraging hackers to go there and exploit these things, they find them, come to us, we'll work with them, we'll solve the issue, everyone's happier, we'll pay a bounty. What I said this is crazy, it's a beta. Mm-hmm. Like for going through our beta stuff and doing bug checking, that's really cool, because there's bound to be bugs in there.
Yeah, but in beta, people usually find not very complex bugs. They usually more obvious. But with this beta, because we really care about security,
yes.
We want you to find the important bugs with remote code execution or elevation of privilege. That's really hard to find.
It is.
Not just in beta, any
product,
at any product stage. And then it's really important to fix. That's why it's better to run this program for beta than for things that
it's true. We want to get this before their launch, obviously. It's really important to get that down. We take security very, very seriously around here. So it'd be interesting to see what comes out of it.
Yeah. And in order to give you something to work with, we are announcing availability of ASP.NET 5 Beta 8. So it's like a new beta you can start looking for bugs in, right?
Yes. There's a bunch of changes in the IIS hosting model in this one. In the previous betas, there was kind of two different hosting models. Helios, I believe, was discontinued. You can still do it, but it's kind of a workaround way until you can get that kind of much nicer working. Yeah.
And usually in beta stages, we make breaking changes.
Yes.
So in order to upgrade your ASP.NET solutions from beta 7 to beta 8, you need to make some important changes. And there is a blog post made by Sean. So he describes how to upgrade your solutions from beta 7 to beta 8. Not a big deal. But you need to look for all these kind of items to change, because otherwise it's not going to work. And it's good that we have such a good instructions. Right?
Yeah. If you've done beta upgrades in ASP.NET before, you're probably familiar. There's kind of a manifest file or project file that needs to get a couple tweaks. Scott Hanselman actually has an article on one of the cool new features you'll get called DNX Watch. So DNX is the .NET execution engine, mm-hmm. and DNX Watch is a plugin. Is a component you can install, and it will watch a file system for changes, recompile things in the background automatically for you. So for example, if you're doing web development, you make a bunch of changes, you hit save, you go to your browser, the change is already there. You don't have to worry about rebuilding, you don't have to worry about some complete pipeline. This already works in current versions of ASP.NET for views, so you can change your markup and it'll do it automatically. But this goes all the way through to your backend code as well. So very rapid iteration and very cool.
Yeah, it's continuous integration.
Locally.
In a super duper kind of. Yeah. Implementation. That's really cool. And it's all in Visual Studio Code, by the way. Next thing, .NET Micro Framework 4.4. It was a surprise.
Yeah.
So we have .NET Micro Framework for years. It's a really kind of helpful thing for all these small devices, all these IoT kind of stuff. Like there is an umbrella now for a lot of devices and technologies, and people call it all IoT. So .NET micro framework is really a thing for running on those small devices, and we have new version available. Cool. And when you ask like what's new, it's all about fixing some really outstanding issues, bugs which were like forever in the .NET micro framework. They also added some UWP APIs in there,
yep.
So like Windows devices. And like if you compare what we used to do with Win32 for talking to different devices and what we have now with the UWP, oh man, that's a really huge step.
I've been doing some work with MIDI devices. I should ping Pink Brown. I'm sure he'd appreciate it. I thought it was going to be a whole bunch of. We talked like last week, I think, mm-hmm. about things that used to be thousands of lines of code mm-hmm. is now like devices.enumerate, and you're done. You set a flag of what kind of devices you want, and you get it. You can immediately interact with them.
And USB and Bluetooth and like it's all so, it's everything is so easy now if you compare it to the past. So I love it. Talking about continuous integration and all this DevOps stuff, there was a blog post by Jeremy Clark about Git basics for Visual Studio developers. I'm a Visual Studio developer.
I am
and
too.
When I was getting started with the Git,
mm-hmm.
oh man, that was hard.
It's a different paradigm. You have to wrap your mind around, if you're so used to TFS or just non-distributed source control solutions, you have like a workflow in mind that works. Like you check in, you have exclusive locks, mm-hmm. There's one master repository. Using Git or any distributed file source control system, it requires a different just mindset. And so when you're trying to go through those same things and you're trying to just like draw an analog from one to another, you can't do it. You need to kind of learn a new way. So great mm-hmm. article to get kind of your mind around that.
Yeah. And talking about like actually developing some things and getting a step back to making a one step back to .NET, we actually took serious LLVM for .NET.
Yeah, I didn't see this coming either. LLVM is a whole suite of tools that allow you to compile mm-hmm. and build and do all sorts of stuff. Widely available on other platforms.
Yes, but. It's really cool that you can use different languages, compile it to one sort of intermediate language, and then basically compile it to binaries on different platforms. And you can use all like LLVM toolset across different languages and platforms. That's really cool. And some time ago I don't remember, but it's about a year or probably even more. We started thinking about making a tool for compiling .NET languages, like core CLR languages, to LLVM in order to use all the advantages of LLVM toolset. For example, like converting it later to JavaScript and running in the browser. This is really cool. So now there is a tool, and it's mature enough for compiling core CLR languages like C# to LLVM, and then using all LLVM toolset for whatever reason.
Well, I mean, especially if you're already familiar with all those, you can use those in cooperation with our IDE and get the best of both worlds now.
Yeah, there is still a lot of things to do, to fix, and to implement, but it's a good thing. Looking forward to have it in a sort of RTM form. Cool.
You know, we talked about how the Surface Book was the first laptop Microsoft has created,
mm-hmm.
But do you know that the Xbox was not the first console we created?
I didn't.
Because today I also learned that there is something called the MSX that was made, I don't know if I have the exact date here, I think it was in the 80s, right on the time of like the original NES mm-hmm. coming out. And this is a project that was done at Microsoft Japan and actually was sold fairly well in Japan and Korea. And it ran something called MSX Basic, which I'm assuming is basically just an extension of Basic with probably some graphics libraries and things. But it's insane to think that we had this console. When I say console,
yeah, it's
like this image.
Gaming computer. I would say.
In fact, it was even used apparently in education as well over in Asia. So very interesting kind of piece of history that we learned today.
Yeah. Oh, Pick of the Weeks, finally.
Dovetails correctly, yeah.
My Pick of the Week is a tool for doing autocomplete with drawing or to be more specific, with animations. Like, imagine you made a picture, and then you want to make another representation of a picture. Basically, if you're talking about animation, it's another frame with something changed.
You're talking like 30 frames per second here. So yeah. You're drawing a lot.
You need to draw a lot. If you're not using like 3D graphics, mm-hmm. when you can just like move different parts of your characters and you render another frame, here you do everything manually. But this tool can do it for you. And you should watch the video. It's like a piece of magic. You draw something, then you say, okay, I want to like fly that way. And it just moves everything in a very good kind of way. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And it's all like they use, people call it artificial intelligence. Yeah. They actually use like neural networks that train it. And then they can sort of understand what you're going to do and the way you want to do it. And then draw it for you. That's amazing.
My Pick of the Week is a collection of, if you ask Cortana to sing a song, she will. And if you take all those vocal parts together and add in a little piano and guitar background accompanying music, mm-hmm. you get what my Pick of the Week is here. I actually don't have a name of who did this, but check it out. It's a link on YouTube, and actually it's also available on SoundCloud. It's the Microsoft Cortana song. Not officially from us,
yeah.
From our fans. But I was listening to it, Side Notes is the name of the channel that has it. Everything from Mary Had a Little Lamb to everything else Cortana sings with its proper backing band. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Cortana making some fun. People are making fun on Cortana.
It's perfect. It's your personal assistant. We'll do whatever you like.
Yeah. Sing that song.
Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. And have fun. See you next week.